tell you something before we even begin to read. In the King James Version, when you have the words, having your conversation, that is Old English for your manner of life, your behavior. And so, if you see the word conversation in the King James, and you hear me read manner of life, you will know it is the word anastrepho. It means the way you move about, the way you live, your manner of life. And so, what we are going to read about tonight is behave yourself. And these are passages concerning the children of God. Usually, we speak to children and quote them Ephesians 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord. But God's word is just as strict when it comes to us, telling us, who are God's children, to obey our Father who is in heaven. And so let's look at several passages, and I have such an abundance of them here, I'll tell you what I can. But the first one is in 1 Peter chapter 1, and look at verse 14. As children of obedience, not fashioning yourselves according to your former lusts in the time of your ignorance, but like as he who called you is holy, be ye yourselves also holy in all manner of living. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. Now, notice, it says, all of us are exhorted to be holy in all manner of living. Now, look at verse 18. Knowing that you were redeemed, not with corruptible things, but silver or gold from your vain manner of life, handed down from your fathers. So here is that word again. Manner of life. Now, what we will do is to look at 1 Timothy 3 now. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Because here is where the word comes in. First Timothy 3, verse 14. These things write I unto you, hoping to come unto you shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how men ought to behave themselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Notice, behave yourself. I read these two portions because they're different spheres in which we are to behave ourselves. The first, and I just read that, and I read only this to start with, to show that we ought to behave ourselves, and we are to behave ourselves now that we are God's children in the church. So look at it, verse 15, how men ought to behave themselves in the house of God, which is the church. Now, it doesn't mean a building. But when we as Christians come together, we are the church, and we are in the house of God, and we form the house of God. So there is a way that we are to behave ourselves in church, and there is a way that we are to behave ourselves in the world. So what I will try to do tonight is to give us instances about people behaving themselves in a good way or in a bad way in the world and before the world. This is the way that it's put succinctly. It says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Them that are without are the world. The Lord Jesus said, you are not of the world as I am not of the world. I chose you out of the world. And so those that are without the church are the world. And we who are chosen out of the world are the church. So that this is a church building. A church is not a building, but it's a church building, a building in which the church meets. And so it says, if you know how to behave yourself in the church, that means among the children of God. Now, this message is a continuation of what I started in Matthew when I was telling you about the Lord's Prayer, and also in Luke 11, the second reference to the Lord's Prayer. There, the request is given, Lord, teach us to pray. And so, what God tells us is that we need to be taught to pray. It is not a natural thing unless you are critically ill, your loved ones are sick, you're at the point of death. Men will pray then. They know how to pray then. But to be called on to stand up and pray in public, if a man is not accustomed to it, he is embarrassed, he's at a loss to know how to pray. But the Savior is asked, teach us to pray. Well, in like manner, behave yourself. That has to be taught all people in the world. I promise you, and you parents know it very well, that children must be taught to behave themselves because it is not natural. The natural thing to do is to misbehave. I can tell you all about that. I remember that a man told me about my behavior when I was a young boy, and I don't know whether to believe him or not, but he was an old man and he told me about it. But what I'm going to do is to tell you a little bit about some behavior in the Old Testament that was bad and some behavior in the Old Testament that was good. And the first thing that I want to tell you about is bad behavior by children and bad behavior by vulgar children of God. You realize that many of God's children are not refined. They are not taught. They do not know how to behave. And I see misbehavior all the time. And if you're married, your wives will tell you how to behave, especially in fine points of etiquette that we men would never think about. But there are things that we have to be taught. And it says in Isaiah, it says, the child behaves badly before the old man. Now think of this. Here is an old man, and a child behaves in a way that is dishonoring. The scripture speaks about rising up at the hoary head, a man that has gray hair. You are to respect that man. But it says the child disobeys, rises up, not at the presence of the old man, but he is disrespectful to that old man. But the first thing is that we have to show respect for the old man. Now, let me give you an example of it. I did not realize it, but this man, his name was Dick Eastman. He said one time his wife was out of town, and he was invited to our home to eat, and I was a little boy, and he said, and Blanche, my mother, she had fried chicken on the table. And as soon as we started eating, you started taking that chicken and loading your plate up with it. And how could he say such a thing concerning him? I never remember doing anything like that. But I know that later your parents would tell you how to behave. I can recall to this day when I was a teenager and some of us young men were going to the home of people that had refinement. We were told to put on a coat and a tie, and when it came time to sit down to eat, we were to put on our coats again. We would never have thought of anything like that. And so children do not naturally honor old men. They just look upon them in such a way that they think they're just another person. But it has to be instilled in them. It has to be taught. And just as they said, Lord, teach us to pray, what we have to do is to pray, Lord, teach us to behave as children to old men and women, those that are seniors. But then the next thing is this. I told you that many Christians are crude and lack refinement, and it says in Isaiah also, it says, the base man dishonors the noble man. And you realize that there are some people, and even though they have failed miserably in the position that they have, still there is a respect and an honor that should be given to them. It's like this. If an old man comes in, then you treat him with respect. And if this man is a man of honor, you give him as much honor as he can be given. Because the Bible says, honor to whom honor is due. But I remember this on one occasion. One of the greatest conductors in the musical world, who probably have never heard of him, his name was Otto Klemperer, one of the very greatest conductors, came from Europe, and the Berlin Philharmonic, the Vienna Philharmonic, all the great orchestras of the world across the sea, and he had the highest reputation. But he came to New York City, the New York Philharmonic, and in that orchestra, you have crude, base people. They're excellent as musicians, but they have no manners. And this great conductor was telling them how to play a piece of music. He had the wisdom of a lifetime, and he had the respect of the world. And he was telling these musicians in the New York Philharmonic how to play this piece of music. And one of them said, Mr. Klemps, he said, not all of that talking. Don't be talking so much. Just tell us what you want and let us get on and play the music. Can you imagine such a thing? You see, here is a base man showing dishonor toward an honorable man. And if there have been those who in the past have been greatly used of God and they're not able to anymore, you do not look upon them with disrepute, but you think of what they did in the past, the lives that they had lived. And if you are a younger person, you show respect to the older. And if there is a person who has great honor, because it says this in Thessalonians, it speaks about showing honor to those that are over you in the Lord. And it says to respect them exceeding highly in love for their work's sake. And I want you to see this. Turn to Hebrews 13. Hebrews 13. And here is an example for us as well. Look at verse 7. It's just a little bit different in the tense, but in 13:7 it says, remember them that had the rule over you. These are men that have lived and died. Remember them that had the rule over you, men that spake unto you the word of God, and considering the issue of their behavior, their manner of life, imitate their faith. There is that word again, you see. It's different, but now it's the same word. How you should behave yourself in the house of God. How you should behave yourself in the world. So, look at verse 7. Remember them that had the rule over you. Here were those men that cared for the church, that protected it from evil, that taught sound doctrine. And it says, remember them, and considering the issue of their manner of life. They lived a certain kind of life all their days, and they died in faith. They had not left the Lord Jesus, and you see the rich reward to which they went. It says, remember these, and it says to imitate their faith. And this is what God wants us to do. He wants us as young people to live, to have a life that behaves according to the will of God. In our youth, in our middle age and in our old age, that when at the end of our days we pass away, something like this could be said of us. Remember these men that had the rule over you, for considering the outcome of their manner of life, their behavior, imitate their faith. That's what we're to strive for. So, here are exhortations about behaving ourselves, and I've given you examples of bad behavior, and now I want to give you an example of good behavior from the Old Testament. So turn to 1 Samuel 18. 1 Samuel 18. And here is a young man that has done an heroic deed that no other Israelite had courage to do. Goliath had challenged the entire nation of Israel. Give me a man. And no one in the army of Israel was brave enough to come forward. But David did. And he slew Goliath. Now, after this, it says, look at verse 1. 1 Samuel 18:1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day, and would let him no more go out home to his father's house. And Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David, and his apparel, even to his sword, to his bow, and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and it was good in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. Now, take a moment. Here is what can happen. If a young man accomplishes a great exploit for God, it can go to his head. It can destroy him. It says that no one can be an elder who is a novice, lest he fall into the snare of the devil. And David could have been puffed up, prancing before the armies of Israel, saying, I'm braver than any man here. I'm the greatest one in all the army. But please notice in verse 5, after he had accomplished this deed, it says, he behaved himself wisely, and Saul gave him a promotion. Now, look at verse 14. David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Now, that seems good, but look what happens. And when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he stood in awe of him. And now what happens is this. Just like young men are to honor old men, also older men are to give proper respect to younger men who have been used of God. But what happens is this. At times, a younger man is more gifted and braver than an older man, and envy enters in. And now, let's look at verse 30. Then all the princes of the Philistines went forth, and it came to pass, as often as they went forth, that David behaved himself more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name was much set by. And what happened was this. It says that when these behaviors, again and again and again, before the nation of Israel, it said Saul set his eye on David. But now we're going to look at Psalm 35. Turn to Psalm 35. Because one of the greatest commendations of David in behaving himself was he behaved himself not only in proper situations, but in impossible situations. In Psalm 35, and look at verse 11. Unrighteous witnesses rise up. They ask me of things that I know not. they reward me evil for good, to the bereaving of my soul. But as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I afflicted my soul with fasting, and my prayer returned into my own bosom. I behaved myself as though it had been my friend or my brother. I bowed down mourning as one that bewaileth his mother. Now think of this. Here is one of the most commendable things that can be said of a man, that when his enemy rises up against him and behaves with jealousy and envy and with a murderous heart, when something happens to them, instead of rejoicing and being glad at the adversity that comes into the life of your enemy, listen to what David says. I behave myself as though it had been my friend or my brother. I bowed down mourning as one that bewaileth his mother. Now I wonder if you are spiritually that mature and that much like the Lord Jesus Christ, that when your enemies persecute you and hate you and something ill happens to them, that you can mourn and you're filled with sorrow concerning those individuals. David did. Now, please notice that these examples that I've given you are men behaving themselves in the world. We'll see other times about behavior in the church, but this is men, how we should behave in the world. Now, let's look at the New Testament. Look, and here are some references as to how we should behave in the world. Turn to 2 Corinthians 1:12. 2 Corinthians 1:12. It speaks of behavior in the church and behavior in the world. Now listen to verse 12. For our glorying is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in holiness and sincerity of God, not in fleshly wisdom, but in the grace of God, we behave ourselves in the world and more abundantly towards you. Notice those two things. We behaved ourselves in the world, and that's what we are to do, to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, and more abundantly toward you. Now, turn to Galatians, Galatians chapter 1. I want us to see two references that speak about the behavior of those that are not children of God, and it's all the same. Galatians chapter 1, and look at verse 13. Paul said, you have heard of my manner of life, this is that same word, my behavior in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and made havoc of it. So here is Paul's life in the world, his behavior in the world as an unsaved man. But now, turn to Ephesians 2. Because, again, he mentions it in Ephesians 2. And look at verse 3. Let's take it from verse 1. Wherein you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all had our behavior. We behaved ourselves in the same way, living in the lust of our flesh and doing the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. Look at chapter 4. Here is another reference to living the way in the world. That, what a difference. Look at verse 20. But you did not so learn Christ, if so be that you heard him and were taught in him, even as truth is in Jesus, that you put away as concerning your former behavior, your former manner of life, the same word, the old man that waxeth corrupt after the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man that after God has been created in righteousness and holiness of truth. Now, notice, We all behave in the past in a bad way. But please notice that the bad way is not looked upon as bad by the world. Here is the Apostle Paul, before he was saved, behaving in a way that was murderous. And yet, according to the law of Israel, he was blameless. And yet, he was behaving in a way that caused the Lord Jesus to say from heaven, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And so, behavior, when we are lost, can take the form of being filled with religion and persecuting those things that we think are evil. But when we think we're doing good, we can be doing evil. But please notice that it says in chapter 4 that Paul tells us to put off the old man and to put on the new man, and we're to behave ourselves. 2 Corinthians now. Turn to 2 Corinthians and listen to the areas that are mentioned and what we're to do in chapter 6 in our behavior now that we put on the new man. Chapter 6, verse 3, giving no occasion of stumbling in anything, that our ministration be not blamed, but in everything commending ourselves as ministers of God. Now, this is what is required of us to behave ourselves in a godly manner, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, in pureness, in knowledge, in long-suffering, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in love unfeigned. And these are just a few of the things. And so look over all of these areas and understand that if we have failed as Christians, then the exhortation is, behave yourself. And let us no longer live as we did in the past, obeying the lust of the flesh, but now let us live according to the Spirit of God. Let us walk in the Spirit and please God in all ways. So those are some thoughts about behaving ourselves in the world. Next week in the will of God, we will see about behaving ourselves in the church. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for all that you expect of us. We are glad that it is not with embarrassment we have to be taught to behave. Let us know that the Bible speaks about a child left to himself. And we think, our God, of the world today. And we think of the permissiveness. And we think of the youth and no conscience. And we think of those that were born in the 60s, our God, and we have read the reports concerning them, our God. We are simply behaving ourselves according to the flesh. So we pray that we shall look at the lives that we lived in the past, and we shall be ashamed of them, and that we shall now consider our lives in the Spirit, and that we shall behave ourselves in the world and in the church. Help us to be obedient children, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.